Hello, welcome to Antakia Radio Show. This is your host, August Crenshaw. As usual, I'm happy to be in the studio with you all. Thank you all that are joining. I am still just as excited and animated as usual. My conversation and my voice tone may be just a little bit different today because I plan on talking about a very sensitive issue. I have contemplated this thing, meditated before God, thought about this thing, let it go, forgot about it, contemplated it again, and I am just in a place where I want to be very careful and I want to exercise a lot of wisdom with the words that I choose to use. So bear with me. I'm going to be a little bit slow. I don't want to say that I'm going to be slow motion, but like I said, I just want to make sure that as we're conversing, that the way that I choose to bring out the issues that I'm going to talk about, that I don't damage anyone. I'm always transparent with you guys. I don't plan to ever change that. But in my transparency, a lot of times I bring up situations and circumstances, but you guys don't have a clue who I'm talking about. And the only way you have a clue is if you are a listener and you are very close to me. So then you know the circumstances. You remember the situation. But today when I talk, I'm going to be exposing some other people. And the one thing that I don't want to happen is that while I'm talking, I don't want to taint these individuals because I know that I have a lot of listeners who are very close friends and who are family members. So like I said, just bear with me. But I'm going to be revealing some very intimate details about my life. And the reason why I'm going to do, you know, I'm always usually giving a backdrop or a story, is because I want to see some healing. You know, I don't know about you, but there's different kind of people in the church. And there's some people when they go to church, you know, you want to hear the scriptures. And it's like once you hear them, you know, they come to light and you're like, oh, yeah, the pastor was preaching about forgiveness. And I realized that I don't forgive my aunt. And I don't forgive my boss or my mom. And I just need to forgive. And, you know, for some of us, when we hear certain things, it's like, yeah, I get it. And then sometimes, you know, when you go to church, it's like you feel like somebody threw a bunch of scriptures at you. And even though you do understand them, you still don't really technically understand how they apply to your life. You know, so the pastor could have been talking about forgiveness, and you'll be saying in your heart, I forgave him. You know, I tried to even have a relationship with him, but you got these other little glitches in your system, and you don't understand that they feel them from the hurt, and that maybe you haven't forgiven the way that you thought that you forgave. And in the church, sometimes we don't need people to talk at us. We need people to talk to us. And a lot of times what we also need is just a little bit more transparency. You know, a lot of people in the pulpit, I understand, it may be hard to want to be too transparent because it's like the more dirty laundry people know about you, the more that they can use it against you. Well, you know, I'm not trying to be funny. Anytime you have a platform, whether it's because you big like Beyonce and Jay-Z or on the spectrum of a Joyce Myers or T.D. Jakes or even me being on this talk show, anytime you're on a platform, because mine is minuscule compared to those, that's why I put my name up there, people, not because I'm on the same level, but the point is I have a platform, and that's what pastors or teachers have. They have a platform. So since you're supposed to be a go-to or know-it-all or whatever, then people can take what you use and they can misconstrue it or they can use it against you. But at the end of the day, I honestly and I firmly believe that the way you help people get freedom is not always by having a crap load of scriptures. You need experiences and you need relatability. Yes, overall, God is the one who does the healing. Yes, he said that he will go near to a man and that comes near to him. He says that no man even comes to God unless God draws him. But my approach today is really not to give you scripture. It's just to talk to you, period, about this issue of abandonment, rejection, and unforgiveness. And these issues stem from a lack of parental involvement or either total parental absenteeism. And the reason why, I don't want to give you any scriptures, because if anybody has ever been to church even just once in your life, 9 times out of 10, especially when they didn't be at the altar call or something, you have heard that the Lord said, you forgive and I'll forgive you. You don't forgive, I won't forgive you. Or Jesus so loved the world and God is love. And hey, we know the scriptures, okay? We got the scriptures. They're planted in our heart. So I don't feel like I need to give you a bunch of scriptures today about love and forgiveness. Let's just have some real conversations about the side effects of what happens when there is a lack of parental involvement or the absenteeism, period. And then let's bridge that gap and talk about how you get past that. Because I'm going to tell you something. When I tell you my story, you're going to realize that it wasn't until I was over 30, listen to me, over 30 that I began to get a level of result. And I know I'm not the only one because I've been in churches, I've been in groups, I've been in Sunday schools, Bible studies, whatever, where issues or questions have come out and where there are a lot of hurt adults walking around and masquerading behind the scriptures to pretend like everything is okay. And, yes, I'm calling it pretending because you want to look like you got this gospel thing together. But I agree with this young lady that put a post on Facebook the other day. You know what? Sometimes you just need to let a good cry out. So let me begin to tell my story. I understand that everybody's story is not the same, but let me just say this. You know someone with a similar story, and if the story's not the same, you know someone with a similar issue. So if it's not you, it's someone you're close to, so you can help minister to them, or you can be getting ministered to yourself, or maybe it's a combination of the two. But the bottom line is my grandmother raised me. I was raised by my grandmother from a very, very young age, and I was always accused of being very mean as a kid, very mean as an adult. And as an adult, I really didn't understand it because I was a giver. I was a person who loved. I liked to share. Anybody could come and stay with me. I would feed anybody. I had a lot of characteristics like my grandmother, but I didn't understand what was going on. And unfortunately, I had a situation where I was separated from my, at that time, 4-year-old, and her behavior changed drastically to the degree that she just, her behavior, from being, she went from being this sweet little angel to, for lack of a better way to say it, because I ain't finna go, I'm not going off spiritual, she was almost rather demonic. That's just how her behavior just went to a total 180. And this happened when I was just a little bit over 30. And for that, that's what woke me up to saying, I need to deal with the issues that stem from my mom not being in my life, because the only thing was we couldn't connect, and my baby wanted me back so bad, but there was nothing that I could do to get back to her. So anyway, rewinding back to my story, my grandmother didn't just raise me from me being, you know how sometimes you got to go live with your grandparents or something like that when you're a little kid. You might be in middle school or something like that. No, my grandmother had me from the age of 18 months up until my teenage years before I went to stay with my father. And I did stay with him a couple of years when I was in elementary school, but that didn't last long before he gave me back to my grandmother. And what I had to learn is that I had issues within because I didn't have my mother. And I couldn't verbalize that then, but because of what I saw in my own experience later on in life, I was able to make the connection. And I didn't realize it, but me not having my mother raise me made me into a paranoid parent. So my mom was young when she had me. I was young when I began to be sexually involved. One day I'll even talk about this topic because it's important. I was barely 15, I just turned 15, when I had my first abortion. I just was out there. I had done a lot of things wrong. So I had this really angry attitude, this careless attitude, at a season in my life, I really just didn't care what I did. And I had those experiences that some of us may know about. You know, I lived with my grandmother on my father's side of the family. I remember he would say he'd come pick me up every Friday so I can see him on the weekend. He was probably consistent with that twice. I remember sitting at the front door waiting on the couch in the living room only to fall asleep and wake up the next morning, you know, and he didn't show up. And, you know, I just have all of these different kind of memories that we know about where it's like, where is my dad? Well, for me, I got a double whammy because my mom wasn't there, my dad wasn't there. And so, like I said, I was a very angry individual. But as I got older, I was like, I'm never not going to raise my kids. That's what I used to always say, don't give me for the grammar, people. But that's how I felt. I was like, I'm always going to be in my kids' life. Nobody else is going to raise my children. I'm always going to have my children. But it wasn't coming from a place of love. It was coming from a place of pain and a place of paranoia. Overall, I think my daughter would say that I was still a good parent, but I still, at times, I was kind of rough. And it's because I didn't want her to get pregnant at an early age. I didn't want her to be a fool for guys. And I didn't want her father wasn't in her life. You see this domino effect. And I was like, she's not going to be chasing men for love, you know. And I don't care even if it is her biological father. I'm going to teach her if that N-I-G-G, you know what, don't reach out to you. You don't reach out to him. And all of my parenting and my perspective, even as a Christian woman, because this followed me even after salvation, came from a place of being bitter, scared, and angry. And going to church, like I said, you get to hearing these different cliches, you get to hearing these scriptures, and sometimes they just get thrown out there at you, but they really have no relevance to you because you find yourself not knowing how to apply them. So I was told that, you know, I needed to forgive, and then that's what my heart was at. Okay, well, you know, I'm going to forgive, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Let me tell you something. I'm going to skip to this part real quick, and I'm going to rewind back. At the end of the day, Christians say it all the time, that really believe in the Word of God, your peace that passes all understanding, it really is only going to come from God. When I had hit this rock-bottom spot in my life and I was going through this trial, I went to read a Bible story. And I was raised in a missionary Baptist church where we went to Sunday school every Sunday. And even though it was recycled Bible stories, oh, my God, if you went to a missionary Baptist church, you knew the story of Moses, okay? You knew the story of Joseph. You knew the story of the birth of Jesus. There's just certain things that you knew. But there's something about the Word of God, because it never gets old. It always has relevance. It always has meaning. And it just goes around and around. And it evolves, even with the changing times of the world. And so here it is. I'm in this place. I know I need the Lord. I read the story of Moses. And I promise you guys, the Lord spoke to me, and he showed me in the scriptures. For those of you that follow me all the time, I talk about that. You need to be able to see yourself, to see your life in the Word of God. That's what makes it living. And the bottom line is for those of you that don't know the story of Moses, quick synopsis, he was born at a time when baby boys were being murdered. His mother did everything in her power to try to hide him so that he wouldn't be murdered because the king at that time was afraid if too many men would be born from the Israelites at that time who were slaves, because they were so massive and plentiful in count, that they might overthrow the government. So he was like, the girls can live, but let's kill the men. And the mother protected him. And in order for the mother to truly protect her son, she ended up having to put him in a basket and just push him off in the river. And you know what? Pray to God that everything would work out. And it actually did. He ended up being raised in a household. Actually, he ended up being raised by the very man that put out the order for him to be killed, by Pharaoh. He was raised in the Pharaoh's family. The Pharaoh's daughter found him. But nonetheless, the bottom line is that Moses didn't die. Moses lived, and he was put in a place where he was able to experience living a very wealthy life, and eventually he got pulled away from all of that, and we, those of us that know, Moses ended up being the man that went back and delivered the children of Israel from out of Egypt through the authority and by the power of God. So I read the story, and I still never knew. Here's the thing. Imagine how it must have felt to spend your entire life not knowing why your mother or father didn't raise you. Now, even though I was pissed off at my daddy, we hear about deadbeat daddies all the time, but it ain't normal for a mama to give up on her kids, not because she didn't carry them for 9 months. Well, guess what? Things really stung me because it was not normal for a woman to have 5 kids. Why didn't you give away the other 4? I was the only one that was given away. So that was like another bitter sting. So I got sting on top of sting on top of sting. So you know what that would equate to? That would equate to me having a bitter attitude or a bitter spirit. So, but like I said, later on in life, God showed me myself in the scriptures. I didn't have the answer as to why I was given away, but the revelation that God had given me, and this is like in 2009, okay, so not very far away, God had given me the revelation that for whatever reason my mother gave me away, it was for my benefit and it was to save me. Now, you would think that would be enough to give me freedom, but it was not. People, when we're ministering to folks that come from a place of hurt, as much as we would like for them to get it, as much as we would expect for people to understand, it just doesn't always happen that way, okay? If you really think about it, it didn't happen that way with you. God is still working with you and I, and there are some things that we just ain't getting. But eventually, that epiphany is hitting us. We'll let the Holy Spirit actually minister to us. So anyway, back to my thing where I said, you know, you hear a lot of scriptures, you hear a lot of things in the church, but it doesn't mean nothing to you. You don't know how to apply it to your life. You're like, so what? Well, my thing was, okay, I didn't just hear it from the pastors. I heard it from God himself, but I still wasn't satisfied. And I'm going to tell you one of the reasons I wasn't is because there are a lot of people out there in the church who were saying that the way you get delivered from that kind of hurt is you need to go back and address those people. Sometimes that does work, because trust me, I don't believe in one-size-fits-all ministry. So I'm not saying that even with me sharing right now that I have all the answers, but I'm saying for somebody, this is what I'm talking about. It is the answer. And sometimes it does work. Sometimes you go back to a person and you're like, why did you do this to me? And they say, oh, I'm so sorry. I was young. I was stupid. Oh, I just was evil. That's what I wanted to do. But I, you know, and you get the apology, you hug, you kiss, you sing kumbaya, everything is great, and you move forward. But that's not the way that it always goes. When what I did is like, okay, God gave me a revelation, but my revelation made me curious. So I'm like, you know what? I want to call my mom and my dad. I want to get some answers. Well, hey, mom, I love you. Can you please tell me what made you give me to my grandmother? Oh, wow, that is so long ago. I don't remember that. Or, you know, I did raise you when you were younger. And I'm like, oh, really? Like, I can't recollect, and I don't see all the pictures of me with my grandma, and you got all the pictures, and there's none of me with you except a few. I mean, I was heavily insulted. And then I was like, well, how old was I? Well, that was so long ago, I don't remember. And that just stung. I mean, that hurt. Being that I'm a mother, I think I would remember, especially my firstborn, if something happened and I didn't have you in my life anymore, down to the day, the second, the minute, and the hour, I would know. So it's like, really? You don't even remember? So that cut me even more. Call my dad, hey, do you remember what happened, how old I was when you got me? I just wanted them to give me some answers. I just wanted my heart to be soothed, and I wanted to feel better. And he was like, well, you know, your mama didn't raise you, and I did more for you than your mama ever did. And I ended up getting defensive, and I'm like, yeah, you did. I'm not going to take that from you. But you're still not answering the questions for me, and don't put yourself on a pedestal, dude, because you didn't raise me, your mama did. So all of this effort that I put out there ended up backfiring in my face. It made me hurt even more. Call my grandmother, ask her the question. Sweetie, I never wanted to tell you this. However, this is how old you were, this is what you look like, here's a picture of you, this is, you know, she couldn't tell me what was going on with my mom, but I just knew that I loved you. We took you into this house, we raised you. She, of course, is, you know, doing the typical Christian thing. You make sure you still love your mom and your dad, you forgive them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Bam. So what did I end up doing? Instead of being comforted by the word of God, I decomforted myself by going on an exposition to try to get more answers. And I'm going to tell you something. I walked around for many years with some extra healing, more than I had before, but still not totally healed. Why do I say that? Because, you know, my thing is, if somebody didn't mention my mom or my dad, not that I was angry like I used to be, but I know that deep in my heart or the pit of my stomach, there was still this weird feeling that I felt, that it was like, oh, well, I'll speak to them. Oh, I haven't heard from them. Well, they don't call me, so I ain't calling them. And I still was living in my past because I would be like, I ain't chasing nobody. I'm not going there. They ain't calling me. They ain't reaching out to me. I ain't going to say nothing to them. No, I ain't seeing my mom. I live all the way out here. She ain't never came to visit me. If she don't come to visit me, I'm not going to go and visit her, and so on and so forth. And even though I would talk it out calmly, it was still me rationalizing. Because, and the reason why I say that, because now that I'm more mature in my walk, for me to say that, what if God was saying, yeah, I know she still hasn't came to visit you, but I want you to go see her. Your dad's going through something spiritually. You need to call him. I had to deal with that. So what ended up happening, even though it was only periodic, God was dealing with my heart, and I gradually would at least call to say I love you, check on them, see how they're doing, maybe send out a text message. But it still was a level of discomfort, and that's how I knew that I wasn't totally healed. Where after all of these years have passed, you want to know something, people? I still never got the answer that I desired. I still don't have the kind of relationship with my mother and father that I would want to say is, like, totally awesome. It's almost still virtually non-existent, but there is a piece of me that's more comfortable with talking to them if I see them. There's a piece of me that doesn't cringe as much. Well, let me tell you something. Finally, and this does not happen for everybody, finally, for the first time in my life, I got a key part of this story revealed to me. I spoke to an aunt. My grandmother didn't even know this. I spoke to an aunt who was like, we were having a conversation because of something that happened with my grandmother, and I was so upset with what happened to her, and I couldn't believe this individual did what they did, and I was talking about how, like, she was like a mother to me, and that made my aunt say, hey, do you even know why your mom gave you to grandma? And it's like, no. And then that's what she told me. She said, you know what? Listen, people, my mother, in her younger years, because I was 17, I mean, she was 17 when she had me, she had a one-night stand with my dad, and she ended up not keeping a relationship with my dad and staying with the guy that she had been dating. But I found out that my mother married a man who had been charged with becoming who was a serial rapist. Let me pause again and let me reiterate to make sure that you heard me clearly. I just found out, and I'm talking like maybe 2.5 weeks ago, people, that my mother had married a man, she was in Chicago, that was a serial rapist. Look, I don't believe in making excuses for people, but I do believe in meeting people where they are. So what would you have done, August, if you had your children and you found out that a man that you were with was a threat and a danger? What would you have done, and to what extent would you have tried to protect them? Now, I don't know what happened in the middle of all of that, when she divorced him, when she moved back from Chicago, when she came back here, why she didn't get me back, if it was more comfortable because my grandparents had me. You know, did she see that I had a better life? A part of her wanted me. The other part didn't. Was it pride because she didn't want to admit she was wrong, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But remember, in 2009, God gave me the revelation that by giving me to my grandmother, it was just like Moses, and he put me in a place of safety. But the revelation that I had to deal with in addition to that, just 2.5 weeks ago, because, see, people, I want to get freer and freer every day, is that the story with Moses didn't end with him getting shipped away. It ended with him pursuing the call of God, even going back to his people to get them delivered. And some people will say, well, you know, some relationships are just going to be jacked up and you got to leave them alone and let bygones be bygones, et cetera, et cetera. I understand the anointing and the call on my life. I've accepted it a long time ago. I get more and more revelations every single day about how I walk out this call and what it is exactly that I'm supposed to do. But how can I be a light? How can I be a torch? How can I be that city on the hill that can't be hid if I can't approach my mom and my dad because I keep on saying what the terms should be, how they should act, how they should respond, what they should do? Because that is me speaking from my level of understanding, and he told me not to lean to my own understanding. He told me to trust him and do what he told me to do. What's more important, for me to have a relationship with my mom so she can see what God has done with me so that maybe I can help her bridge that gap with her relationship, and even the same thing with my dad? What's more important, for me to do that or for me to say, you know what, I'm justified in not having a relationship with them because they don't function with me appropriately the way that a parent is supposed to? The last time I checked, I didn't write the story. I didn't get to tell it the way that I wanted to. I was just specifically supposed to do what he told me to do, bear my burden and carry my cross. So, yeah, I didn't find out what I needed to find out until, look, I'm almost 40 now. I told you that the actual deliverance didn't even really begin to hit me until I got older. But the point is, now that I know, what am I going to do about it? So, listen, there are some people out there that have hurt you. Maybe it's not your mother. Maybe it's not your father. And you're probably lying to yourself every other day, telling yourself that you're okay. And I'm here to challenge you and say that you're not. I'm saying that you're not okay because certain things about them, when you hear it, it makes you cringe. Certain areas or aspects of ministry, when you think about following through with it, it bothers you. Certain behaviors that they have, you don't get them. Let me tell you something. I had to learn to understand that with my mother and my father was younger than my mother. He was turned 16 when I was born. At the end of the day, they did the best that they knew how to do. I was expecting my father to be a man and to father me, but how could he do that when he wasn't a man? How could my mother do that if she wasn't a man? I mean, if she wasn't a woman, it was virtually impossible for those things to be accomplished. Okay, you hear me? So you got some hurt. You listen, people, some of you are never going to get the answers from the people that you're looking for. And I'm going to tell you something. It's going to jack up your relationships with people. You're not going to want to jump into certain relationships because of fear that they're going to reject you, for fear that they're going to abandon you, for fear that they're going to hurt you. Whatever that fear is, you're not going to want to move freely and fluidly because you're always paranoid that something will go wrong. And if you operate like that, then you're not confident in who God is and what he's able to accomplish. So take some time. You know, when you get through listening to the show, and reflect. Because unfortunately, it's an epidemic, especially when it comes to raising children, that there is one parent that's absent. And no, I can't say it's just the deadbeat dad anymore because there are a lot of single men out there who have access and rights to their children and the parents, the mama couldn't just get. How do you safeguard your kids? How do you protect them? Well, I'll tell you something. A man that I do respect for one reason, I got other reasons, but this one in particular, is Tyler Perry. He's always doing these plays where there was some level of incest or rape or drugs or something in the family, or, you know, even this one play, the laugh to keep from crying. This one young girl, she didn't know why in the world she couldn't meet her daddy, but her father was actually a pimp and her mother was trying to protect her from him. You know, those kind of things at the end of the play, you know, Tyler Perry said, you know, we got to quit having these secrets. You know, and I know some of my people that listen, you're not all African-American, but I'm putting this one out specifically to my black people, okay? Quit saying we don't do that stuff. Quit saying that that's the type of stuff that only white people do. Those are not the kind of things that only white people do. It's just that black people had what stays in this house, what goes on in this house, stays in this house type of mentality. Stop lying to your kids and telling them that it's okay. You don't have to dog anybody out in order to just tell them the truth and let the truth be what it is. I was already hurt. I was already angry. How much more hurt or angry could I have been with finding out the information that I found out in my 30s, if I found it out in my 20s, or if I found it out in my teens? You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that as soon as a person turns, Lord, you know, 2 years old and has barely learned how to say a word or two, that you got to start giving them all the family dirty laundry. I'm not saying that, but I am saying at some point we need to have real conversations. Because even though your kids can't necessarily verbalize what happened, you know what happened to them. And you call yourself trying to do the good Christian thing because you don't want to tell them that their daddy was abusive, or you don't want to tell them that their mama was on drugs. And, you know, you don't want to say these different things. That's just like his other play, a movie, The Single Mother's Club. This one mama kept on telling her son her daddy loved him, and his daddy loved him. He snuck out and caught the bus to go see his daddy. She never wanted to tell him that the daddy was a crackhead. He was so out there, so bad on drugs. This little boy, he caught the bus all the way across town. The daddy didn't got him from his PlayStation, iPod, or whatever the heck, iPad, whatever he had with him, so that he could pawn it so he can go play him some crack and let the little boy by himself. We don't get healing and deliverance, and we don't know how to move forward because the people that do know the truth are always afraid to just say what the truth is. Look, at the end of the day, I'm telling you people, I have to deal with this because I have three children. I have two baby daddies and a husband. My little girl gets to grow up with what should be a mother and a father in a household that loves her. But I had to go through a season of being a single mom before he came into my life with the two older children. So I had to deal with these bitter realities. And no, my teenager, she didn't want to swallow that pill, but I kept it 100 with her. I never dogged her father out, but I said, hey, sweetie, this is the reality of what it is. I did not try to paint a picture of him and then make sure that I'm doing a good Christian thing by telling her that she got to love him anyway. Love is just a concept to someone that's that age anyway. Love is something that you have to teach and mold and show what it is. And if you don't do that with your parents, with your kids, it's going to backfire on you. If you don't keep it 100 with them, for instance, when their daddy is no good, they're naturally going to gravitate to somebody that's like that biological. That's psychology, okay? I ain't really into psychology like that, but you got to give credit where it's due. Because every dude that my daughter picked, every dude, I was like, you don't see how he's just like your biological? You need to be picking somebody like the man that God put in your life that has taken ownership of being your father, and it's not designed by blood. She could never see that she was always picking men like her father. For the first time in my life, thank you, Jesus, she picked a young man who exemplified more of the characteristics of her father. And I'm not talking about her father in heaven. I'm talking about my husband, who also, but at the end of the day, that does reflect the father in heaven, because that's the kind of husband that I have, so don't get it twisted. But she was steadily gravitating toward men like her father. So if you got a daughter out there, you don't like her choices when it comes to guys, and she's always picking a loser, and she's doing whatever it is,
Hey, when is the last time you sat down and had a real conversation with her? No holds barred. When's the time that you went ahead and got all the tears and the crying and the snot mouth and put the scriptures behind you? Because at the end of the day, you know what, people? If you really want to learn how to minister to people, quit walking around being the King James Version. I minister to people all the time, and they know that it's the love of God that's doing it. But every time I say, it is not thus thou, so Lord, and Almighty in Corinthians and Psalms and Hebrews said this. If he is in me, he comes out of me, whether I'm quoting directly or indirectly. And half the people in the world can't relate to us because we don't just talk in normal language. We always basically got the gloves on, like we're trying to fight. Relax. Just minister to people where they are. Let God do the rest of that stuff. Have some real conversation, okay? Because when you start talking like that, people can't hear you. If people are already dealing with damage and hurt and pain, even if they go to church every Sunday and they hear the scriptures, trust me, there's a glitch. It's not connecting. You want the connection to be there, then you be God, and God is love. And when you talk to the individuals, just talk to them. Just talk to them and just love on them. Give them a chance to digest some stuff. Let them come back and ask some questions, especially as it pertains to our children. Yes, I was able to pat myself on the back. No one can tell me that I was not a good mother, because I was. But see, eventually God dealt with me and I became a great mother. Now I'm working on being a phenomenal mother. I'm going to keep going because God does not allow us to be in complacency. And it would be so easy to just pat yourself on the back and say, I did everything right. This is not about being overly critical with yourself, people. This is not about blaming yourself as a parent. But this is about saying, you know what? Life as a woman of God or a man of God is about being a better parent. It is about always stepping the bar up, because the backlash is going to come back anyway. So we got to get rid of the secrets. We got to stop not thinking our kids can handle the truth. And we've got to start being there. Being there and giving explanation and understanding. So over these last several weeks, I've had to pray and help God see me the way that he wants, you know, see the way God wants to use me. I have a very big move that's coming up. My whole family is relocating to another state. And the way that God is moving, it seems to be coming more expediently than it is, than we anticipated. And I can see how God is just giving this freedom, this extra space of freedom, so that when I walk away, certain connections that weren't fully connected, that they are. That is what he would want. He's not just moving me to another state. He's moving me to another level. And part of getting moved to that next level is putting that mirror before your face and seeing how it is that you can grow. And if you're that person that you're dealing with those issues, and guess what? 9 times out of 10, you are. It's generational. You know, a lot of pastors preach about how you don't have to have generational curses. I agree with that. You don't. I don't believe you even have to claim them. But the bottom line is they're there. And just like your kid got a problem with you, you got a problem with your parent too. And you shadow it and you mascara it and you put on your foundation and you cover it up and you camouflage with your army fatigue and your war paint for your men, hey, whichever way you do it, and you say it's all good because you love God and because you understand how to forgive. But you're still hurting. You're still hurting and you don't have freedom. I am finally in a place, people, where if I talk to my mother today, I never have to have an answer. Even with the answer that my aunt gave me, naturally, that still makes my mind more curious. But you know, because of the kind of way that I'm wired. I would want to go and say, hey, you know you never want to talk to me about this, you know, and gloss it up real good. You know, I just want you to know I love you, and I'm not going to say anything to hurt you, and, you know, I really understand now, and this is what I heard, but can you tell me this or why that? No, I'm not opening up a can of worms to try to let the enemy have a way to restrain me. I love my mother dearly. I do believe that she was the best mother that she can be. I say this with absolutely no disrespect, but God put me in a family that reverenced the Lord, even if sometimes it was just going through the motions. So I know who God is because it was an expectation that was held on me. But if I was living with my mom or my dad, for that matter, neither one of them have an undying love for or reverence or connection. I'm not saying that they don't believe, but I'm saying they don't necessarily, they're not plugged in. They're not plugged in. They're not getting the current coming to them. I wouldn't know God the way that I do right now. And when I look at my other brothers and sisters, even though they've grown up and they take care of themselves and they take care of their kids, there's a different dynamic in my life that would not have existed. So I got to thank God that even if she didn't understand thoroughly or totally why she did what she did, everything happens by the will and authority of God. And that is what has allowed me to be the kind of woman that I am today. I got to thank her. I want to hug her and tell her how much I love her for making such a phenomenal decision. Now, I said it at the beginning of the show, and I'm going to say it again. I revealed some very personal information about my life, and I did not reveal it so that I could look like a victim. And for those of you that are close to me and know my family, I did not reveal it so that you could look at my mother or my father like they're crazy. They did the best they knew how to do. And at the end of the day, even if they didn't do it right, I have a plus of good memories. See, sometimes when you hurt, the only thing you see is what people did wrong. You don't see how some of the things that they did, they were awesome or they were good. We don't hold on to the good memories. Somebody put a post on Facebook that said if somebody says something bad, good about you, people have to second guess it or look at it and verify it. But if somebody says something bad about you, why do people accept it in a split second? So I'm not saying anything bad about my mother or my father. I'm telling you the reality of what happened when I was growing up, and that's as simple as it gets. Moving forward, at the end of the day, like it or not, since I am the seasoned Christian, the baton was passed to me, not to them, to replicate and exemplify what godliness looks like. So I can stop measuring people up against me and start measuring people up against God. And see, when I measure you against God, I got to measure me against God. So you know what? I stop measuring you and I just measure me. I can't expect anything else from my mother and my father. I can't expect their standard to look like what God's standard should look like because they don't know him, but I do. And because I do, I use his wisdom and I move forward according to his will, with absolutely no holds barred, doing exactly what he would have me to do with them. And sometimes, you know what? You can't get so cliche-ish with this thing, people. You can't always be sitting there saying, well, you know, when the Lord says the same, you know, that's what I'll do, and I'm going to take it to prayer. No, I ain't saying you ain't supposed to say things in prayer. I ain't saying that you ain't supposed to seek God. But you know what? Sometimes, you know, stop it. You can throw yourself out there. You know, what you're really tripping off of is what if I get hurt? Well, you know, I ain't finna just do this before the Lord say do it because, you know, if he pressed their heart and their mind and their spirit, and if this ain't happening, that ain't happening, you know, I'm just going to be talking for no reason. The reason why you going to feel like you're talking for no reason is because you expect instantaneous results. Because you expect that when you go speak to the person that something will change. You hope that a light bulb will go off. You want them to change right away. But what if you just planting a seed? And no, you might have thought you planted a seed a long time ago, but the last time I checked, if you read Matthew 13, when it talks about the parable of the sower, some of the seed fell on rocky ground. So maybe you did sow a seed, but you didn't pay attention to the heart of what was going on with the person, so it wasn't able to grow. Maybe you need to keep on sowing a seed. See, the parable didn't say some of the seeds fell by the wayside, so the sower stopped sowing. No, the parable said some of them fell by the wayside, but he kept on sowing. Some of them fell in thorny places, but he kept on sowing. He kept on sowing the seeds regardless. But maybe you thought seasoned in your walk, you think you were always watering instead of sowing. Maybe you thought you was, but you ain't. And maybe you thought what you were sowing with seeds just because it was the word of God, but because your heart wasn't in the right place, you wasn't sowing nothing. The Bible says somebody sowed, somebody watered, but God gave the increase. The one that sows and the one that plants and the one that waters, you ain't nothing. God is all. But you do get your just reward for being a fellow laborer with him. That's what the scripture says. So quit looking for results. That's one of the things that stops us from moving in the kingdom, because it would just be so nice if, like I said, if once you say something, somebody clicks and gets it, and you sing kumbaya, and everything is okay. It does not always work that way, people. If you stop looking for results all the time and just do what God told you to do, then maybe you'll see the results later, or maybe you won't see the results. If our forefathers thought like we think, we would still be slaves for the black people that's listening. And maybe even some of the white people, whether you're Jews or something, if you was in the Holocaust. If our forefathers thought the way that we did, we'd still be somewhere in England instead of the United States. Because they knew they were fighting for something that they might not even get a chance to see, but if their kids got to see it, or their kids' got to see it, they did it anyway. So if it don't go the way you want it to go, so what? You do it anyway because you know you are working towards something that God will eventually give the increase on. So, as usual, I know I put a lot out there. I know that this could be extended. We can go further. A lot more could be said. There's so many other angles that could come, but you know, I don't want to get to the point where I'm just being redundant and I'm saying the same thing over and over again. I don't know how any of this information is making you feel, but I hope it will cause you to reflect. And even though I brought up parental relationships, it still goes outside of that. It does go into the aunties, the cousins, the best friends you grew up with, the coworkers that you have relationships with. You know, we can look at this from the perspective of many other things about when we should have been there and been involved, secrets we kept, how we weren't open, we didn't discuss issues, et cetera, et cetera. I always open up the line for questions or comments. I don't know what anybody's thinking or feeling. You guys know that I love feedback. First-time listeners, you have anything to say, you push the button once. You push the button once, it triggers me, then I put you on the air. Yeah, so if there's anything that you want to say or anything or question that you may have, because maybe you're kind of wrestling with something and you are wondering what perspective, what biblical perspective or spin I can give on what it is you're dealing with, then I encourage you to do that. You know, so, you know, otherwise, understand that your life was written by God. He said before he knew us, he chose us in the womb. He predestined us. So your story may not look like you want it to look. Joseph's story, I'm sure, didn't look like he wanted it to look. He didn't expect to be sold into slavery, put into jail, but my, what a great man he became. The Bible is not just full of these glamorous stories of forgiveness and love. Romans 15:4 said the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. This is why you can't just be New Testament or Old Testament. If you're not willing to take the full word of God, you're going to miss something. So maybe your life isn't in Moses. Maybe your life isn't Joseph. Maybe your life isn't Abraham or Noah. Maybe it is an Esther. Maybe you are the Rahab. I don't know.
So with all of that being said, I don't see that there are any questions or comments. I always thank you guys for joining in. Once again, today was different, but we're not trying to do anything any specific way. We're just trying to follow up. We do have a question or comment. Just one moment. Hello, you are on the air.
Good morning, August.
Good morning.
Always, I want to give all praises to the Most High and His only begotten Son. I just wanted to thank you for a beautiful lesson. It was wonderful. It was heartfelt. It was emotional. It was everything wrapped into one, and it made perfect sense. And it's definitely one that I would like to archive and, you know, listen to with my family just in case anything does arise. We always have this to go back to just to reflect and see that everything that happens has a purpose, and we just have to wait on God and see what that purpose is. But it was definitely beautiful and on point.
Praise God. Well, thank you for your comment. Something I'll say in response to the caller real quickly before we do get off the air. I was talking to somebody the other day, you know, I didn't like my father at all because I was a young student. I went to school in the public school system, and I was a straight-A student. Then I got transferred through the DSEG program to one of the good schools, you know, back out here in St. Louis. We call it the white schools. And I was almost failing. C's and D's were nothing for me, and I used to be a straight-A student. I was raised by my grandmother, like I said, who was pulled out of school in eighth grade because women back then, you needed to cook, clean, and take care of the house. But I was determined to get an education and to be smart. I liked school. I was weird compared to other kids. So I pushed. I was happy when I got a 3.0, and I was like, that ain't good enough, so I need a 3.2. And, I was elated when I got a 3.4, but I pushed and I pushed and I pushed and I pushed. And I was involved in a lot of things. I didn't feel like my father supported me the way that he should, and I had to catch the bus when I thought he should have been there because I had to pay for things he wouldn't pay for. I missed out on some things because he wouldn't pay for them, you know. But when I look back in retrospect, even if it wasn't the lesson that my father meant to teach me, what I learned how to do was be self-reliant. I learned that there was always a way to get something done. And, you know, and there's an epidemic, unfortunately, with a lot of young people now. It's like, why didn't you make it to work? Well, my mama's car broke down, you know. It's kind of like, really? So you can't catch my thing? Well, why didn't you? It's like there's an excuse-oriented mentality. And it's like, we can't do anything because a door wasn't open or a path wasn't paved. But in certain ways, my father's lack of involvement showed me you don't have to wait for a path to be paved. Pave one. Pave one and go down it. You know, at the end of the day, his intention may have been you figure it out because you need to know how to take care of yourself. Wasn't necessarily communicated in the best way, but you know what? That is what happened to me. And that might not have been his message at all. He just was preoccupied and didn't even see the reason why he needed to do what he was supposed to do. You see, but there's a phrase, and it's called, but God. But God was even then, when I didn't acknowledge him to the fullness of who he was showing me how to survive and putting other people in my path that would bless me or be there for me or give me rides or donations or gave me clients so I could make money. You know, things still worked out. And now I teach my daughters all the time, you don't take no for an answer. Because there's always a way for something to get done. The only no you accept is if God is interfering and saying, pump the brakes. You know, so, yeah, there's a rhyme and there's a reason for everything. We as Christians, we going through the same thing as other people are going through. But we need to master what it seems that the other people have. It, you know, to some degree, you got to give the people in the world their credit. They know how to take lemons and turn them into lemonade. They don't get upset when somebody tells them no, or if they do, it don't make no difference. Are you saying I can't make it? You saying, oh, that's good. I'm going to show you. I'm going to sell these CDs out of my truck. You know, they have resilience. They have tenacity. They're audacious. You know, they get out there, and they do.
Because ain't nothing stopping them from getting where they got to go. When nothing should stop you from approaching God, nothing should stop you from experiencing the fullness of who he is. Because what they got, it pales in comparison what we have the capacity to have. And we can have the things that they have to whatever degree God that gives them, but we can also have the peace that passes all understanding in addition to that. So I pray to God that, as my other caller said, that it's therapeutic, that you go back, that you can re-listen and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to each of us wherever we are and allow us to continue to grow and to get more freedom. Let's be real with where we are, people. Let's be real with how we're feeling, and let's go to the next level. So I'm going to pray us out. Remember, if you have any questions or comments, you can always email me at my email address, which is my name, AugustCrenshaw@yahoo.com. August is spelled with an E, AugustCrenshaw@yahoo.com. And if there's a topic that you want to hear about, also let me know that too. So just going forward, I just want to say, Father God in heaven, we thank you for being the most high, the most awesome God, for being more than we could ever imagine. God, we thank you because you have blessed us with your presence and your spirit. Lord, we thank you because you have given us everything that we need to experience total freedom so that we can get past the bondage of rejection, abandonment, and unforgiveness. Continue to help us to just meet people where they are. God, meet ourselves where we are and just accept what you have dealt to us for what it's worth and see how you're going to do as the word, you know, make us pure after we've been tried by the fire. May we continue to press towards the mark. And may we become awesome men and women of God who are able to transfer this same awesomeness that we have to other individuals. I thank you, Lord, for being the Most High. I thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins. And I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us until that great day. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can't wait to speak to you all next week.